Good morning. Isn't it amazing how fast time is passing by? I'll tell you how fast. On Friday, Verna and I will have been hanging around each other for 50 years. That's amazing. So, you need to continue to pray for Verna, because she's still putting up with me, okay? Hey, the men had a great time yesterday throwing axes to the Axe Shack on Lee Road and threw axes. And Pastor Jeff must have had 5 bullseyes. How many, Jeff? At least 5. Oh, and you would have loved Richard throwing it. Richard threw it with both hands, and when he would throw, he would put his head down. Like that. And he hit it. I mean, he did better than I did with not even looking. He did great and all. Hey, it is so good to see you. We welcome you, those who are visiting with us for the first time today. We're so glad you're here. For those that are watching online, we are so glad that you are joining us today, because it's going to be a great day. You know how I know it's going to be a great day? Because Jesus is here and he is risen. Not just last Sunday. He's risen every Sunday, isn't he? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stand up. I want you to look at the person beside you and say, out of all the people I know, you're one of them.
Is worthy of Good morning. You be seated.
Today, and we are in for a very special moment of worship. One of the joys that we have is that God has put us in a position to be a multi-generational church, like church is supposed to be. We can sit around this room on any given Sunday, and we see folks that are seasoned adults, some more seasoned than others. But we also, at the other end of the spectrum, have kids and the sound of kids in the building, and I think that's one of the most exciting things in the world. And so one of the things that we want to do this morning is take a moment out of worship, because it really is an act of worship. We believe that we have a sacred responsibility in doing our part to model and help and assist parents as they are on this journey of parenthood. Because in case you didn't know it, kids come without a manual. And every child is different, but also every child is unique and an amazing creation of God. And so as part of worship today, we're going to dedicate some children and their parents as they take this journey together, and we're going to support them as a church, and so we want to take a few moments to do that. Scott, our director of children's ministry, is going to kind of talk us through this and lead us through it. I'm his able-bodied assistant, or just able. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But Scott, go ahead and introduce our guest for today. Tell us a little bit about him, and then we'll keep going.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. All right, so Stefan and Amanda, will you bring that beautiful baby girl up here, little Miss Amelia? All right, and Brittany and Andrew, would you bring those handsome boys up here? It's so great to have them. All right, so these families have been with us now for a little while. It's been fantastic to get to know them. Just wonderful, wonderful people. All right, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then, we're going to keep going. All right, so we have Stefan and Amanda. They have a beautiful baby girl named Amelia. All right. She is, well, I asked them to describe her, and it was very interesting because she's one of the most polite little girls. She's got the sweetest little voice. And then the other thing to describe her is really assertive. All right. She knows what she wants, and she's going to put it out there, and she's going to go get it. And that's going to serve her really well down the road as a leader for in bringing people to Christ. So that's really awesome. Out here in the crowd supporting is Grandma Cynthia Peraza. We have Jose and Teresa Alvarez out here supporting as well. So great, great family, great family. All right, over here we have Brittany and Andrew and their group of boys, okay? High energy, I will say that, okay? They are fantastic little guys. All right, right here we have Jaden, all right? The one that's being still right now. All right, Jaden, and he's really athletic. He's really inquisitive. Okay, so be ready for all the questions he'll be asking you, and you'll be able to pour some truth into him. So that's really fantastic there. This is Gabriel over here. All right, he is really high energy. He is super strong-willed. All right, and he is he's just a fantastic kid, and he's really imaginative. One of the things about him is he's imaginative, playing in the back. He's coming up with these things. You're like, whoa, dude, you're going to be on Shark Tank someday or something, right? Fantastic stuff there. We have Elijah over here. Hey, man, how are you? You doing all right?
Yeah.
You look so handsome in your tie. All right, but Elijah, again, so, you know, he's super energetic as well. He was back there today. We have a square chair back there, and he was just flipping it. He's just flipping the thing over, like super strong, and he's quick too. I think we all know that. the other thing that was described about him is he's also assertive. Okay, so when they're back there together, that's a fun thing, right? Yeah, so I think it's the that age right now, right? So that's a really fun thing. Out in the crowd here is Daddy Matthew and Javi supporting, and Grandma and Grandpa Richard and Tanya Emery. So thank you for being a huge part of their lives and pouring into them. All right.
They're here, and again, it's never easy to get in front of you guys. Now, again, not
because you guys are tough. Well, some of you guys are tough, but it's always hard to make that stand and stand up in front of a group of people, and basically, if you're not used to it, it becomes a little bit more overwhelming. But they're doing this today for a very special reason. They're making a statement. As parents, they're making a statement saying that they want to make sure they raise their kids in a way that's going to honor God. They're looking to you as a church to say, we want your prayers, your assistance, your encouragement in that. They're here with the kids, and there's nothing magic about what we're doing today. This is just a moment in the child's life where the parents are coming recognizing that their child is a gift from God. And because that child is a gift, they want to honor God by raising the child that in a way that's going to honor God. And so what we're going to do is, moms and dads, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. At the end of the question, I'm just going to say, if this is what you want to do, just say, we do. Okay? And that'll be simple. When that's done, then I'm going to ask you, as a church congregation, to make some declarations. And what I'm going to say to you is, take it seriously. If you just sit out there and just answer mindlessly, you're not honoring God. We're going to ask you to really do some things that will help encourage these families as they kind of move along. And so we want you to be a part of that as well. Okay? So moms and dads, you first. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and growth and favor with God and man. I know that you guys are here today because you think that God has entrusted you with the magnificent and holy responsibility of guiding your children as you grow. Do you lovingly accept that responsibility? If you do, simply say, we do.
We do.
Okay. God has given you the gift of these children that you hold and you love and you wrestle with. Do you promise to nurture and protect those kids with everything within you? If that's your intent, say, we will.
We will.
Okay. God expects you to teach a child through the example of living a godly life. Will you strive as moms and dads to live a godly life in front of your kids? If that's your intent, would you say, we will? Deuteronomy 6, 5, and 7 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Will you strive to teach your kids how to follow God and live life according to his word? If you make that promise today, will you say, we do?
We do.
Okay. Now, that's their commitment to you. They have stood in front of you and they've simply said, we see these children as a gift. We're going to do our best to raise these kids in a way that honors God. We see that as a holy and sacred responsibility. They made those promises in front of you because it's that important to them. And so for you as a congregation today, for you as a group of people, let me ask you a series of questions. Church family, God does not call these parents to walk alone. Will you help these parents with making a commitment to help encourage them and guide their children in wisdom and stature and favor with God and other people? If you would answer and say, we would love to do that, will you say, we will?
We will.
Okay. Will you also protect them and help nurture their children so that they can see what a godly life looks like? If you promise to live your life in such a way to be a model to these kids, will you say, we will? Will you promise also to be godly examples to these kids so that when they think of what it looks like when a person follows God, they'll think of some of you? If you would make that commitment today, would you say, we will?
We will.
Okay. And will you go out of your way to encourage these parents who some days are going to be fantastic parents and other days are going to wish they could have a day over again? Will you encourage them in that journey by telling them that they are doing a good job and that you're praying for them on their journey? If you would do that, would you say, we will?
We will.
Okay. You've heard them. They're now on the record. We have filmed it. We have broadcast it across the world. They are committed. You are committed. What we want to do is just a second, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless you guys. We have a couple of gifts for you. And we just thank you for letting us be a part of this today, okay? Let's pray. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the energy, the joy, the moments that we get to spend celebrating today, this good gift that you have given us and these families with kids who are beginning their life, and they have no idea all the things that are waiting around the corner. We have no idea where you're going to take them or what you're going to do with them. But we do believe that their life is not an accident and that you have a plan. And so Lord, I thank you for each of these kids. I thank you for their parents and their willingness to stand in front of a group of people today. Some they know, some they don't know so well. And be willing to say and risk saying, please encourage me, pray for me, help me. I want to get it right. I thank you that they recognize that their kids are a gift from you. And they have a desire to honor you as they raise their kids. Be with them. Strengthen them. Give them wisdom that only you can give. Help them along the way to know that they're not alone. Help us as a church to encourage and strengthen them as well. Let us do our part to help not only the kids, but moms and dads as they strive to become the people that you created us to be. That's our prayer, our joy this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we do have some gifts for you. Scott, if you'd help me out here a little bit. What we're going to do, that's for Amelia. And what I'm going to do, Brittany, I'm going to let you guys have all of these together. The Bibles that we're giving you each have the kids' names in them, okay? And the certificates as well. So they're kind of, it's stacked up in right order there, okay? So I want you to have that. The Bible is a gift. We give these Bibles with a lifetime guarantee. If for some reason your kids wear them out, you wear them out, and you're not in a position to replace them, we'll replace them. For the rest of your life, we'll replace these Bibles for free for your kids. We'll make sure they have the Word of God, okay? The certificate is suitable for framing. We expect to see it on your walls in case we ever drop by to visit. No. You don't. Keep it somewhere safe. It's fun to do. We also have another gift for you as well. For each family, we have a book called Bible Stories for Kids. You want to get that? I'll give it to you. There you go. And that book basically has just some stories that are important stories in the Bible. And what we ask you to do is take at least one day a week and read one of these stories to your kids. As a family, just spend a few minutes. It unlocks biblical truths, kind of takes them through God's Word. It's an exciting time. We want you to have that as a gift from us to you to just say, hey, you know, we love you guys. And we're excited for what you're doing. And thank you for letting us be a part of it. Okay? Scott, anything you want to say? You put your microphone down.
This is so wonderful and such great families, and let's really support them as they go on their adventure of raising children and raising godly children.
Yeah. Let's give them a hand. That's a big task. I'm going to pray one more time for all of us as we continue worship today. Bow your heads real quickly. Let's pray again. God, thank you again for this moment. It is a holy moment. And we're thankful that we as a family, can celebrate the good gifts that you give to us. Take this day of worship. Make it pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.
Very well. Would you stand? I'll find you. Here we go.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave.
captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You have done great things, oh God. You have done great things. Amen. Would you be seated?
That'll help. If you came in this morning, here's what I know. If you are a superstitious person, today drives you absolutely crazy. Because what happened when you walked in the door? There was an open umbrella. Somebody opened an umbrella inside, and everybody knows you open an umbrella inside, it's bad luck. Then you walked into the worship center. You are surrounded by open umbrellas. Look at all the umbrellas in this room. They are open. If we could unleash bad luck, we have done everything we possibly could to unleash it in your life. And today we begin a three-week series entitled Undercover. And so for those of you that are more nervous than a mime trying to give a speech, this is your day to take a deep breath. I want you to understand, you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have to believe in luck. You don't live life by good luck or bad luck. Here's how I know, because God doesn't believe in luck. If you go and look at his word in Proverbs 16:33, it says, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is made from the Lord. In other words, even in Proverbs, it makes the point of saying, you can cast a lot, a dice, but it has nothing to do with luck. Everything that happens comes from God. The reality is we live in a fallen world. Good things happen, bad things happen. Good things come along, bad things come along. The Bible teaches us that it rains on the just and the unjust. It is a part of life. And living in a fallen world means that some good things are going to happen, some bad things are going to happen, but it has nothing to do with luck. And so if you're a follower, you do not have to worry about living your life by luck. And that's great news. But you can live your life under authority. And that's good news too. And that's what this series is about. Today, we go to Luke chapter 7. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there. I want to talk to you about keep calm and brawly on. It is the first of 3 weeks where we talk about what it means to live an undercover life. Now, not undercover like a secret agent, but living under the cover of God. Under the cover of God and knowing that wherever you go, whatever you do, you are covered by God and you live under his authority. And that frees you to become the person that you were created to be. And so if you have your Bibles, verse 1 of Luke 7 says this. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and was about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. We're off and running into the story. Now keep your Bibles open. We're going to go back into Luke 7. We're going to unpack a little bit more because this story takes a twist in just a minute, which is a fascinating twist, by the way, and one that has everything to do with what we're talking about this morning. But for us, I want to stop for a minute because obviously we have umbrellas in the room. I'm not a big umbrella guy. I'm the kind of guy that says, do you have an umbrella? The answer will be yes. We'll be standing in a pouring rainstorm. You'll say, where is it? And I'll say, it's in my truck. Which means I've got umbrellas. It just means I don't have them with me. And that's okay. According to the Transportation Security Association, the umbrella is the most left item on public transportation anywhere in America. Doesn't matter where you are, about what city you're in, TSA says, hey, look, Transportation Security Authority, the umbrella is left first. Second, that would be the phone. Third, your keys. Fourth, your wallet. Now, ultimately, your wallet may have some help. It may get left with a little bit of assistance, but no matter what, that is also left. But umbrellas are intriguing things. And even though I'm not an umbrella guy, I got an umbrella we're going to use during this series. But this isn't just an umbrella, this is an umbrella. Where's the pastor? He's gone. Nope, here he is. This is an umbrella. Now, I don't know about you, but this umbrella should protect me from the elements. No doubt about it. There's a lot of names for umbrellas. Some of them you're familiar with, maybe some that you're not. They're called parasols. We're familiar with umbrella. Sometimes they're called a sunshade, sometimes a brolly, sometimes a bumper chute. Now, I think that's what we ought to call them, just because it's more fun to say. Bumper chute. Say it with me. Bumper chute. Yeah. So next time you ask somebody, hey, can I borrow your bumper chute? See what they do. And then you can inform them what that is. Another name for umbrellas that is a fitting name is protectorship. They call it protectorship. Whatever you call it. But here's the key to an umbrella. This is umbrella 101. If you want the umbrella to work, you got to stay under it. See, if I'm in the rain right now, and my arms were long enough, I could hold the umbrella over here, but if it's raining, I'm still going to get wet. Now, it would be dumb to have an umbrella stand in the rain, but keep it out here. If I carry the umbrella like this, and it's raining, I'm still going to get wet. If I carry it like this, I'm still going to get wet. To the side, still going to get wet. There's only one way this umbrella works. And that's if I get underneath it. And there is an important spiritual principle in that. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what you need to know. You were created to live under the umbrella of authority of the creator of the universe, God Almighty. You get to do that. And if you're going to live your life and become the person that you were created to be in a spiritual sense, we need to have a conversation about that. Because God doesn't promise to protect you from the rain. The rain is going to happen. Rain is rain. But in a spiritual context, God provides for you the authority that you need to survive the stuff that life throws your way that would derail you and keep you from becoming who you're created to be. Now, just like an umbrella will protect you from the elements, I want you to get ready. I'm going to do something for you here. Let me tell you what the spiritual umbrella does. It protects you from the, you ready? Elements. Worked on that all week. Feel better about myself now. Elements. We live in a world where if you're a follower, you're always under an attack of some sort. The elements are out there, and you need to be protected from them. The old phrase is, you know, you need to be under the umbrella of authority. And what that simply means is that you need to be under the umbrella of God's authority in your life. You need to be willing to put yourself under cover, if you will. Not as a secret agent, but to live your life under the cover of the authority and protection that God gives. And when that happens, then our life is better. The problem we have with that, being under authority, is that some of us have authority issues. Now, I don't know if you're one of those people. Believe it or not, I know you'll find this to be stunning. I have been accused of having authority issues. I know. But authorities, rules, curfews, laws, hey, I get it. But in God's economy, you have to realize that authority is not a bad word. And you have to be willing to ask yourself, do I have authority issues? And I'm not talking about me now, I'm talking about you. Do you have authority issues? See, because we live in a culture that is ripping at the seams with authority issues. If you go back historically, it happened about the mid-60s, early 70s, and people began to question authority, and it became very in vogue in style to question authority, to push back against authority. And that hasn't stopped. I mean, it continues to this day. We have people now who have authority issues, and they pride themselves on, I push back against authority. And you know why they do it? So they can be in charge.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. And the problem we have with that is none of us like to be under anybody else's authority. And the reason for that is because we want people who do things the way we want. And we don't like it if someone in authority doesn't think like we think. They don't say things like we say things. It makes us very uncomfortable. And because it makes us uncomfortable, we have a word we use it for now, that for now too. It's called we get triggered. And because that happens in our life, we live with a lot of angst because we're always pushing back against authority. The other reason is because, well, we have a hard time knowing who to trust. And so it is that perfect combination. We don't like to be told what to do, and we don't know who to trust. And as a result, we are just the embodiment of people who are in constant turmoil over authority. And so even if you think you don't have authority issues, you probably do, and you probably battle them a lot more than you think you do. Now that's part, again, of living in a fallen world. We're always going to be asking those questions. But today, I want you to hear me. Authority is a good word, especially in God's economy. I know that some of you think that I just phone it in every week, and I don't really work at this, but I really work at the art of teaching, preaching, communicating. It's an art form. It's what I do. It's what I'm called to do. So I work hard at it. I try to work hard at it. And I probably pray through and think through everything, probably like the number of times I walk back and forth. I mean, if you've ever, I'm going to let you know a teaching, preaching secret today that you may have missed, or maybe some of you have figured out after watching me. You'll notice at the beginning of a Bible study, I will walk and I walk wide. I'll walk the edges. And I spend a lot of time going to the edges. The idea behind that is for you as listeners then to have that opportunity where we connect. But you'll notice by the time we're finished, I'm always sitting here in the dead center of the room. I'm always wrapping up right here. Because I will have spent all morning, 20, 30, 40 minutes, moving back and forth and trying to draw you into this moment so I can say one thing to you. And by the time I get here, the conversation has gone from a broad conversation to just me and you. That's very much on purpose. I don't just wander by just wandering about. And the other thing is I found out that a moving target's harder to hit. So if you start throwing something, at any given time if I'm moving, that's a good thing. But I also listen to people about how to communicate. And they say that when you're saying a word that's a tough word, if you say it with a smile, it's easier to receive. And so I want you to do something with me. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to say authority. But when you say authority, I want you to smile. Okay, everybody ready?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't participate, you have authority issues. Because I'm telling you what to do. And because I'm not going to do it because he told me to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it. See? And you think, I'm proving you have authority issues. Okay? So on the count of three, when I get to three, just say authority and smile real big. Just look at me and just smile. One, two, three.
Authority.
Oh, wow. You guys look so good. Let's do that again. It was so much fun. Let's do it again. One, two, three.
Authority.
Man. I don't know if you feel it like I do. It's like a kumbaya moment. I mean, you guys just look so happy and so nice and so kind and wow, you make authority seem like a really, really good thing. And I want you to understand, authority in God's economy is not negative. And that's good news for those of us with authority issues. For us to understand that the authority of God is not a negative is really, really important. So kids, hear me this morning. We dedicated kids this morning. Man, the first authority figure that kids are going to end up with are their parents. And that authority, how they see you as parents, is going to define a lot of their life. And then one day, someday, your kids are going to grow up after they spent so many years thinking, when I'm a parent, I'll never say what my parents said to me. And one day, in a fit of anger, you're going to say, blah, 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 and go, oh, that's what my parents said to me. And you're going to be shocked at yourself because you're still drawing from the authority that you first got when you were a kid. But as we go through life, there's a lot of people that are in authority over us. And we have to comply and we have to do what we're supposed to do. But it's not negative. Usually it's designed, if it's done well, to help keep you on track and help keep you becoming the person you're created to be. It keeps you moving like you need to move. It keeps you moving forward in a way that's healthy. Authority is not a power grab, because power is something that you grab. Authority is something that comes from above. Understand that authority and power are not the same thing. There are a lot of people who have grabbed power that have no authority. Authority is something that's granted to you from above. Power is something you grab because you want to control, you want to manipulate. We're not talking about power here. We're talking about authority. Best example of this I can come up with on the top of my head is the NCAA basketball tournament. We just came through it. I love basketball. Watch the tournament. The most powerful guys out there are not the multi-million-dollar coaches that are on the sideline. It's not those players that are running up and down the court that are going to sign multi-million-dollar deals one day to go to the NBA. The people with the authority are those guys that run around in those tight black polyester pants with those striped shirts, the referees. And the referees are given the authority to control and run the game. And believe it or not, those referees, those officials, can change the outcome of a game. They have that kind of responsibility, and they have that authority given to them by the NCAA, who is the governing organization of college athletics. They have authority. In your life, you have people that have authority over you. There's no doubt about it. But as a believer, the great news is that you have a Heavenly Father who has authority over you. And not only does he have authority over you, because you live under his authority, he gives authority to you. Hear what I just said? He has authority over you. And because he does, he gives authority to you. And so this series is designed to help you understand that by inviting you to willingly live your life under cover. And so in a spiritual sense, the umbrella is not a protector or a shield. It's a fashion statement. And you get to decide how you're going to move through life. Are you going to move through life undercover? Because if you do, then it's about how you look, how you live, how you conduct, how you move, how you breathe. Everything that happens, happens under the authority of Christ. And so the moment that you became a follower of God, you opened up that umbrella and hopefully stepped under that authority. Now, full disclosure, some of us spend a lot of time trying to stay out from underneath the umbrella. We spend a lot of time trying to do anything we can except living under the authority of God. And that's a constant battle that we have in our life. It is a constant push for power. And at the end of the day, you have to decide, do you believe that Jesus did what he did so that your life can become the best version of yourself? Or do you believe it's just a mad power grab? So today we kick off that series by looking at a few things. The first thing I want you to see is the origin. The origin. See, the authority that we're looking at today has its origin, its nature, in God himself. If you're a believer, if you have given your life to Christ, if you have made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, then what you have done is you have given your life back to the one who gave it to you, and you have said, I'm going to live my life under the authority of God, meaning that that's how I'm going to find my identity. And see, we live in a world where people are desperately looking to identify as something. If you are in the room this morning, you have a driver's license. That is probably your state-recognized ID. Now, we have some changes in the state. So if you want it to be an official one, you've got to have a little star in the corner of it. You have to have a real ID. But that's your identification. Now, that's for the state of Florida. But see, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what happens is that Jesus, when he died on the cross, you died as well. meaning your sins were on that cross. He died for you. He died and allowed your sins to be crucified with him on that cross. When Jesus rose from the grave, you rose too. You found new life that could only be lived when you trust him. As Jesus gives you life each and every day, he has said, I give to you a life that is an abundant life. He has done the heavy lifting. He dwells within you. And because Jesus lives within you, he is the authority. And because you are an outpost of the kingdom of God, then you have authority as well to do some very special things. You say, well, what do I get to do? You get to move through this life, and you get to stand against those spiritual forces that would rise up against you so that you can become the person you were created to be and impact the world in a way that God has destined you to impact the world. In other words, you get to survive the elements. And they're out there, and they're real. I think one of the problems that we have as followers sometimes is we have an identity crisis. We forget who we are. Sometimes we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we just think, oh man, it's another day. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like what I'm going to do today. But instead, we ought to look in the mirror and say, God, this is another day you've given me. When I look in that mirror, I see you living in me. This is a day of purpose, a day of passion, a day that you've given me as a gift. What am I going to do with this day? How did you start the day? See, you can choose to start each day by simply saying, man, that's just my life is just bad. Everything is so wrong, and it's all messed up, and nobody likes me, and everybody thinks that I don't know what I'm doing, and you can just start feeling bad for yourself. I mean, you can just start wallowing in that self-pity, and we're really good at being wallow beasts, aren't we? And we just wallow and wallow and wallow. And you know what happens the longer you wallow? The bigger that pit you're stuck in gets. And the more you wallow, the bigger the pit gets, and it's harder to get out of it. Or you start each day by simply saying, you know what, I'm a child of God, and no matter what the world says about me, my identity is in Christ. It's not how I look. It's not how I feel. It's who lives in me. And who lives in me? Jesus Christ. That's how I choose to identify. So the question is, who do you identify with? How do you identify your life? Because until you get to the moment that you identify as a follower of God, you'll never live under the authority of God. And that's our struggle sometimes. We spend all of our time trying to stay out of that umbrella. We don't want to live under the cover of God. We want to live our own way, think we can do our own thing, and the struggle becomes real, and it begins to tank our life. When we go back to the passage, Jesus is in a place called Capernaum. You heard me read it. A centurion has a servant who is sick on his deathbed. And so the centurion sends some people to talk to Jesus. And basically the conversation, and this is a paraphrase, hey, Jesus, we've heard about you. I know about you. One of my servants is sick. But if you say he's going to be healed, he'll be healed. You don't have to come to the house. You can heal him from a distance. Jesus, in a paraphrase, says, hey, that's great. That's cool. I'll do it. He's healed. Don't worry about it. It's an amazing story. But when you really read the story, it's not just a story about healing. It's a story about authority. Because the verses indicate that the conversation changes from healing to authority. Look at verse 7 and 8. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve you coming under my own roof. That's why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But you say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. See, authority defined means the legal right to rule. So the centurion sends word. He says, Jesus, I'm not worthy enough for you to even come to my house. And I understand authority. I have people that I'm responsible for that are under my authority. I can tell them to go, they go. Tell them to come, they come. I don't need you to do that. I just need you to say the word. You realize what the centurion is saying, don't you? He's saying, as much authority as I have, I recognize you as a bigger authority. I recognize you as the authority. You are the one with all the authority. I have a position. You have authority. All of a sudden, we went from a request to heal somebody to a testimony. about who the authority is in this story. And then Jesus, when he hears this, it says he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. In the story, the servant recognizes that the origin of all authority is God himself. It's Jesus. And I want you to hear me say that. Everything that we talk about when it comes to authority, it has one origin. It's Jesus. In your life, you identify in Jesus. In your life, your authority is God. In your life, if you are a follower, you have no other choice but to identify as a follower of God, and he is the ultimate authority in your life. And if you want to live the life that you were created to live, especially as we move past Easter, then recognizing that authority will change everything. That's the origin. The second thing I want you to see, though, is the object of the authority. It's in verse 9. The origin is God. The object, are you ready for this? Is you. Verse 9 says this, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turned to the crowd following him. He said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. The word that is used there for amazed is a word that probably translates just as well to be marveled. Jesus marveled at this. Some of your translations will say that. Now, but think about that for a minute. We're talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who knows everything, who can do everything, who all power and authority is given under him. Okay? And Jesus is amazed. I mean, you know what it takes to amaze Jesus? It's got to be big. It's got to be something way outside the norm. And there's only two times in all of Scripture that Jesus marvels at anything. Two times. One time is in Mark chapter 6. And Jesus was amazed and marveled at their lack of faith. In other words, all that was going on, all that he had done, all that was happening, Jesus was absolutely amazed that they had no faith. In this particular case, he hears this little conversation about authority from the centurion, and he makes this statement to anybody who wants to listen. I haven't found faith like this anywhere else. Jesus is amazed by the depth of this man's faith. Why? Because this guy gets it. He gets it. He understands the difference between being responsible and the responsibility you have when you're authority, and he recognizes and is making a bold declaration that Jesus, you are the authority. You're it. And everything that I'm going to do, anything that I'm asking, falls under your authority. And I can't do anything else with that. See, once we understand that God is the origin, then we begin to understand that we become the object of the authority. We get to live under that authority. We get the freedom to be protected from the elements because we live under the authority of God. See, if you're a policeman and you step out in front of traffic and you hold your hands up to slow down traffic, or you start trying to conduct traffic, you know, the light goes out and you start working through that, you're not moving traffic by the sheer force of your strength. It's not your magnetic personality that's causing the cars to move. You're there because of the authority that you get with the position, the badge, the uniform. That's the authority you get. It's backed by the law. That's the authority you get in Christ. Again, it protects you from the elements. In other words, the authority that you get in God is what buffers you against the spiritual junk that comes your way, those things that would attack and undercut who you're supposed to be. It allows you to have the tenacity to know that each day that when you give up, you get up and you get moving through the world, that you're going to face things and that all that happens is spiritual in nature. There is a battle that's taking place and you get to claim victory because you're living under the cover that God gives you. It's more than you need. It's all that you need. And because of that, you have power. Power because of what he's done. God Almighty is that ultimate power, and he gives you power as well to flesh out your life in the world around you because he dwells in you. That's the origin, and that's the object of authority. But there's also opposition to authority. Opposition to authority. The opposition, and you already know what this is Satan. Satan is the opposition. Devil doesn't like you having power. Devil doesn't like you living under the cover of the authority of God. Satan doesn't like it. How do we know that? Because that's been Satan's problem ever since the beginning of time. You go back and you do a deep dive. Lucifer is in charge of worship in heaven. And one day Lucifer decides that, you know what? Instead of worshiping God, I want people worshiping me. And God says, no go, dude. Folds up his wings, tosses him out of heaven. But Lucifer was the loveliest, the most convincing, very special creation. And you know what? He took a third of the angels with him. Scripture teaches that. And so a third of heaven leaves with him. And Lucifer, with this mad desire to set himself up as God, comes with a third of those, and that third of those angels that left are now demons. And those demons are alive and well and working in the world. And you know what they're trying to do here on earth? The same thing that Satan wanted to do in heaven. He wants you to worship him. He still wants to be in charge. And so now the battle lines are drawn. The spiritual warfare has begun. He couldn't get it done in heaven, so he wants to do it in you. He's after your authority. He's after my authority. That's why he doesn't want us to understand who we are. That's why he doesn't want to understand the power that we have in our life. That's why he doesn't want us to understand what we can be and who we were created to be. Because he wants us to never know the authority that we have, so we never claim the authority that God has given us to win the battle against the elements that take place around us all the time. See, there's a guy who was in his 70s. He retired from the police force. Small town in Texas. He had grown tired of people driving too fast up and down the street. He had grown weary of loud car noises that were driving past his house. I don't know if you ever get tired of that. I don't know if you ever have people that fly up and down your street and drive too fast, and you think to yourself, man, I wish someone would slow them down. I wish they didn't do that, you know, and you kind of get irritated at it. And he'd had enough. And so one day he got up and he walked into his bedroom, opened up his closet, uncovered his police uniform, which he had put very carefully in plastic so he had preserved when he was done, and he put his police uniform on. And his wife looked at him and said, what are you doing, dear? And he said, I'm taking care of business. He kept digging in his closet, and he opened up a box where he had carefully placed and closed up his police cap that he had for a number of years he wore. Put it on his head, went and looked in the mirror, fastened his head, and his wife said, hon, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking care of business. He then, now dressed in his police uniform, hat on, walked into the bathroom, grabbed a hairdryer, walked into the kitchen, opened up a kitchen drawer, and cut the cord off the hairdryer. His wife said, hon, what are you doing? I'm taking care of business. He promptly walked outside, took a lawn chair, walked to the end of his driveway, sat down in that lawn chair, and named his hair dryer down the street. And everybody that drove past, and you know what happened? They slowed down. Why? Because they thought there was an authority figure sitting out there. And he couldn't tell the difference between a radar gun and a hair dryer. And so they slowed down. And I want you to understand that you have a lot more authority than a lawn chair appearance of authority. You have real authority. And you have the opportunity to do something that other people only can dream of. Not because you did it, but because God has done it. See, what would your life be like if you had an ATM card that quit working? See, some of you have done this. You guys know this to be true, because everyone has gone through this at some point. If not, you will someday. You've had an ATM card that's been compromised, and you know what? The ripple effect is crazy. Let's say this afternoon you're sitting at the Sunny's, and all of a sudden they come back with your card and they say it's been declined. and you look at the poor server who is just bringing you the bad news, and you begin to plead your case. I know there's money in there. You realize you're talking to the server at Sunday. She don't care. She can't do anything about the money you have or don't have. But you're pleading your case. But you're pleading your case because you already know the reality is you don't have any money in your pocket. All you have is that card. And they're looking back at you and saying, that card is no good. See, it doesn't matter how much you have in the bank at that moment. The problem you have is an access problem. You haven't access. You can't access that money anymore. And so you are stuck. And a lot of followers go through life with all the riches of heaven in their account, but because they haven't activated their ATM card, they don't have access to what God has given them. Because when we fail to live undercover, we're not accessing the power that God has for us. And there's power there. The last thing I want to give you, it is a bonus point. It's simply this. It starts with O. There's also octane. There's octane when you live undercover. You have power. If you were to keep reading the book of Luke, you get to Luke 10:19, and it says, I have given you authority. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. As I said, you have authority by God to battle the elements. Your authority, contrary to what some theologians would tell you, is not about power or pleasure in the physical realm. That's one of Satan's biggest lies that he has told us. See, there's a lot of bad theology out there. You find a lot of it on Christian television, not on The Clash, but on other television shows. And they will tell you that because you're a follower, you can just name and claim all of this stuff. And just because you say it, that speaks it into existence. And I want you to understand, that's not what this passage is about. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches and puts authority into a spiritual realm. And so you have authority that is all about the kingdom of God and furthering the kingdom of God. Not what you want, not what you think, but what God wants and what God thinks. Your authority is not to claim something you want for your own comfort. Your authority is against the realm of evil. Your authority is not about accomplishing your own will because you want it that way. Your authority is to accomplish God's will that is rooted in Scripture of what you're called to be. Your authority is not to declare particular events that should take place here on earth. Your authority is to stand against Satan and do the work for the kingdom and be able to do so knowing that you're strong enough to accomplish what you have been called to do. You've never been given authority over God. You don't get to play God like a one-armed bandit. You don't get to pull his arm and all of a sudden hopefully you get three bars and come up with a winner. You don't have authority over God, but God lives in you. So you don't need to have authority over God because you are now his dwelling place. And so as you move and breathe, then God, his spirit is energizing you to become everything that you were created to do. And there's power and strength that God wants you to have. It comes with the freedom that only he can give. And so the question is, how do you want to live? Ask yourself, are you so caught up in your authority issues that you refuse to live under the cover of God? And if you refuse to live under the cover of God, you're never going to experience all that he has for you. And so you have to make the choice. You have to decide. Do you want the life that you were created to live? Or will you make a choice to settle for less? And if you want the life that God has for you, then you have to access it. For some, it begins the moment that they believe, trust, and follow Jesus. And some have not done that. And so if you're in a room this morning, you've never made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, you've never become a follower of Jesus Christ, today's your day. I'm going to pray in just a second, and you can simply, while I'm praying, just ask God, God, I believe, I trust, I want to follow. It is that simple. It is a choice of the mind and the heart. If you're watching online right now, later on, here in just a minute, as I begin praying, just stop for a minute and email us. Let us know that's the choice you want to make. And we have some stuff that we want to send you. We want to come alongside you and encourage you in that. If you're here in the house this morning, just take one of our worship flyers and just leave us a note and say, I've accepted Jesus. What do I do now? We love those notes. Put it in our giving kiosk on the way out the door. to give us a chance to come alongside of you and encourage you as well. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, why would you ever not want to live undercover? Why would you never not want the power that God has for you? Why would you ever settle for anything less? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in some ways we can keep calm and brawly on because we know that we have the opportunity to live under cover that you give us. You are our authority, and we get the freedom to move under that authority. So God, help us to turn from our wandering ways and turn to you. Heavenly Father, help us to live our life identifying in you and understanding that who we are is because of you. And give us the boldness and the passion and the willingness to live life and become that person that would not only shape history, but would shape and impact the world in a way that you've called us to. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us be agents of change, undercover, and knowing that we have the authority to do just that. What you did for us on the cross, what you did for us to an empty tomb, gives us an opportunity to be something that we could never be any other way. Lord, our prayer is that this day we would commit ourselves fresh and anew to living undercover for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand?
Heaven, you came.
for the souls that all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old, it shall not kneel, it shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who is resurrected me.
To live undercover, under the authority of God. And that gives you all the freedom you need to touch and change the world with the love of Christ. This week, take advantage of that. Ask God every day, God, help me stay undercover and become that person you're created to be. If you want to do a deeper dive this week, this time our take-home guide is designed a little bit different. It's actually got something for you to do each and every day. This take-home guide is available to you. It's out there on that brown table out there on the way out the door. But 7 days of things that will let you do a deeper dive into what we were talking about this morning. Take that home with you. Spend some time in prayer. Really understand what it means to live your life under the authority of God. It changes everything. You don't have to live your life by luck. You get to live with power and authority, which is a really, really good thing. Now, this week is a family week break. So, Richard, you won't be here Wednesday night. But I did see you last night throwing axes.
I threw axes.
You were spectacular.
You know, I have a little Creek Indian in my background.
I could see that. I saw that last night.
I'm having a little bit of a flashback here or there.
I did see that. I could see that deep heritage that you have.
One coming of the five civilized tribes.
Yeah, yes. I'm really out of stuff to say, so you can come up here if you want. I'm really done. I got nothing else.
I just will say that this Saturday, huge event, the pastors.
There is.
Tradition like none other.
Very good. If you're golfing, be there at 7. If you're going to help with the outing, be there at 7. So be there at 7. It's going to be a great, great morning together. So if you want to grab the person next to you by the hand, we're going to be dismissed. May the roads rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may the Lord God Almighty hold you in the palm of his hand. You're dismissed. Amen.